Holy smokes!
It's the Lori and Julia Show for your Tuesday here on My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment. The sun is out. It's going to slowly start to warm up, so we're happy about that. Welcome to the show. And as Julia mentioned just a few seconds ago, today, tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, each day we're going to be giving away a pair of tickets to see Prince live on the big screen, backed by his all-star band, and that'll be coming up at Target Center
in April. Are.
Yeah.
I guess I don't understand what it is. Is it a hologram concert?
Well, Lori, it's a ton of footage that we've never seen before. Remember, he made movies of all of his concerts.
So yes, I saw that when I went to the celebration. I got to see the last leg of the Purple Rain in Miami, the closing, and it was amazing.
So Paisley Park has announced that they have put together, it's going to be a concert, and it's going to be a four-day celebration called Celebration 2018.
Okay, so it is part of the celebration that I did last year. I got a little media pass. It was amazing.
Yeah, and so it's going to be 4 days, but this is a concert that's going to be at Target Center.
We got to go.
And it's going to be on April 21st at 8 p.m. I don't know. I'm going to look up what day of the week that is.
I'll get that for you.
All right.
Well, it's Saturday. It's a Saturday. Yeah, wow. Perfect. So that's going to be happening, and the different events that are going to take, this is called Prince Live on the Big Screen, and it's newly remastered and never before released audio and video of Prince's accompanied live performance. He's going to do kind of a hologram, I think, Lori, something.
It's not a hologram.
It's not a hologram.
It's just him.
It's film.
It's just film of him being in concert.
Okay.
And Target Center now, you know, they've newly remodeled. They have a huge screen.
You were just there.
I was just there, sitting on the floor at the Timberwolves.
Did you tell Lori about the kiss?
I did. I laughed so hard. I've done nothing but laugh. I'm telling you, the Timberwolves are on fire.
They are.
They really are.
Yeah, I've only got one room at a time for a sports team, and right now it's skull.
Well, let me just tell you, the cutest thing today, I think, on the internet was this boy who, during, I think it was a Cleveland Cavalier game last night.
Yes.
He might be like...
Was this the one they showed on GMA this morning? Oh my God, that is the best.
He's the cutest kid, and he's dancing. Oh. You know, that's a Post Malone song.
Oh, yeah.
Hit it. It's the cutest.
Did you post it?
I don't know. I think I sent it to Donnie, but I sent the wrong thing.
I couldn't find the standalone of that.
I'm going to send that to you again. We'll try it again, Donnie.
All right, fine.
We like to do everything out loud here.
We do. It's a nice way of working.
You know, it's just a nice way to work around here.
Well, that's kind of a backstage peek.
Yeah. It kind of is. Well, I have to tell you, I felt like I was in having a backstage peek this morning when I was listening to our morning show. Have you guys been listening to them lately in this new segment called How Big Is Your Stick?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know this, Lori?
Because I've been sick. I've been on a suspended universe. I really have not liked it, enjoyed any of it.
Because you still look sick.
I still have sick eyes.
I know you do.
I'm desperately trying to get a Z-pack before we head off to Beverly Hills, where some bartenders know our names.
Yes, they do.
They do.
Yes, they do. It's just, you two are here back from Minnesota. They don't know Lori and Julia. They know the Minnesota girls are here, the crazy chicks.
Good enough for me.
Good enough. Well, they have this thing. So I'm listening this morning. It's called, Name My Stick. Hold the stick. Measure the stick. So, you know, Alexis has all these spiritual capabilities for reading tarot cards.
Oh, I haven't had her do any of that stuff for me.
No, I know. She's, you know, the... what's the name of that community?
I'm only utilizing 1% of her digital assistants.
We need not Alexa.
Oh,
no, Alexis.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Alexa, my digital assistant that I'm underutilizing.
Because
I bet you could get a nice daily meditation or a calming thought of the day from her.
I'm sure you could.
Everything Alexis can do, Alexa can do.
But Alexis does it with the flair of being from...
A live person.
Yeah, from Shoreview, Minnesota.
Okay, got it.
So I'm just catching this, and I've never heard this before, and it's like, measure the stick. Okay, who wants to call in and have us read their stick? And I'm like, this is perverted for, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever time I'm listening to it.
Listen, they're on for like 5 hours.
They have a long shift.
Yeah, they really do.
They really do. We never want
more. That one.
But it's going on and on. And suddenly she's like, Jason, I'm going to measure your stick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm worried.
Yeah.
Now I'm worried because I know Jason physically isn't in here. Is he sending photos? How is this going to happen? What's going on here? And she says 13. And I'm like, that is a big stick. You know.
It's a big shoe size, too.
I know. And I'm just like, what is going on in our morning program? And I thought, they're doing
what
a little
stick. What stick are they talking about?
I guess it's a lucky stick, or it's a dipping stick, or it's a...
What? All
tell
this
your
sounds...
Fortune
it's a fortune stick.
Like a fortune.
So, like, you pick a number, and then she has a
7.
Can of lollipops.
All right.
Okay, I'll read yours.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, Lori's stick is 7.
Yeah.
First of all, 7 is always lucky.
Yes,
and if anyone ever puts their hands behind their back and says, guess what number I'm holding behind my back? Guess 7. You're going to be more than 50% of the time.
I remember when you shared that as a random fact or some game.
That was from Neil Strauss, who was on years ago for the game.
Yeah. Good
so
memory,
remember
Julia.
That. Well, that's a silly thing to remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, 7, it means that you are turning the corner. Sunshine is going to be shining above you. You're going to get your Z-Pack. You're going to not have snot coming out of your nose constantly. Your eyes are no longer going to be pink. You're not going to cough, and you're going to be healthy. Damn it.
Good.
It's a good fortune.
I like it.
Donnie, your stick is 2.
Yeah. Wow. That's so cool.
But anyway.
Anyway.
It was funny. I'm just like, that's a new segment. We should, we're not good at fortune telling, obviously, but we do have time to update everybody on something that's 20 days away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do we have it?
Yes, we do have it.
20 days away.
Yeah.
It's 19.
Time for Julia's.
I've got Super Bowl fever. I love football.
She likes sport. Yeah.
I'll bet she does. I bet she does.
Super Bowl segment.
She somehow always knows everything that's going on.
Uh-huh. We like the balls. We like the Super Balls here. Uh-huh. 19 days.
What's happening?
2 hours, 27 minutes, and 57 seconds.
Oh, my gosh. Don't we have to get through Sunday?
The SAG is only 5 days away.
The SAG Awards. Yes,
the SAG Awards. And it's a personal conflict.
It will be for even some of the attendees.
It is on at the exact same time as the NFC Championship game. Yeah. I think that's going to bring us luck, though. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
It's going to bring luck. And no, we're not going to have the anxiety and stress. Okay, let me just tell you the
do
new...
Do we have anxiety and stress?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Oh, Lori, yeah, because you operate the equipment.
You're already projecting that I'm going to do all the work again.
Well, Julia, you know I'm completely hopeless.
I'm having the stress and anxiety over the Vikings winning. Not over.
I'll have that because I don't stress out about that one, but we need you to operate the microphone.
Oh,
we
gosh.
Need you to operate the
technique. I have to do all the heavy lifting.
Julia.
All right, let me tell you what's happening. We learned every single thing has a name, like by Verizon, but here's something I learned. The Hyundai Ice Rink, there's going to be an ice skating rink. There's one downtown St. Paul, but there's one downtown Minneapolis on NFL, the Bold North, the whole Nicollet streets that are going to be stopped off for the NFL experience, which starts the Friday before it's 10 days. The Friday before, and
make
then
up your mind.
It goes 10 days out. But they're going to have a Hyundai ice rink that you can skate on for 30 minutes during the Super Bowl Live's hours of operations. This is all posted. I'm tweeting all this out.
Only 30 minutes?
You can only,
because there's is it a postage stamp like that thing over by St. Paul Hotel, that little tiny rink?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, okay.
Skate to the left, skate to the right, stand up, sit down,
fight, and people can go, where do we go ice fishing?
We twirled.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to have Super Bowl 360, which is a 40-foot football dome that you can immerse yourself in some experiences. They're going to have the Polaris upside down downtown where they're doing snowmobile, flips and everything. That's going to be the Saturday before the Super Bowl. They're going to have the Delta Grill, which is Delta Airlines celebrating. They're building a grill to resemble an aircraft. Its wingspan measures more than 20 feet across. The fuselage grilling chamber is 38 feet long and nearly 15 feet high. Approximately 500 burgers an hour. So they're having like food trucks and different things.
That's a great idea.
The Schwann's.
Ice cream truck?
Yeah, but they're going to have 4 trucks stacked on top of each other. So they're doing something really cool. And then you're going to be able to take your self a photo of yourself being a bobblehead.
Uh-huh.
They've got Snow Globe. They've got Target Bullside Lodge where you can warm up.
I want to back up to that bobblehead because is that a thing?
It is. It's it like is? A okay. thing where you're going to go, and it's probably a video projection.
Oh, God.
And you're
going to go crazy for that.
I think
you don't
so.
Get an actual bobblehead.
No.
But it's like a thing you'll be able to use for social media.
You can take a picture for social media, and they're also doing that with a snow globe. They're having the Doritos Blaze Lounge, which is going to be something that I think Heat and Glow is working with them, and it's places to warm up. So it's going to be food trucks, beverages, arts and entertainment,
fun.
Concerts every night. It's going to be so much fun.
All right.
But the last thing that they're going to have, Lori, is the, we talked about the Hallmark. They're going to print pop-up exhibits. So different things that memorabilia are going to be placed throughout the whole street.
Well, that's like when you go to Memphis. I mean, there's blue stuff everywhere in Memphis. It's so much fun that way with the murals, and it's just music. And same with Nashville. Music
City.
It's
going to be so fun. Yeah. All right, when we come back, Ashley Banfield on her show last night on CNN had a different perspective on the Me Too movement, and you're going to hear something different. We'll be right back. Yes, that's Cardi B and Bruno Mars. They're going to be performing at the Grammys, which is 2 weeks from Sunday night.
Is that all it is?
Or 1 week. Yeah, it's right around the corner. We've got so much fun stuff to look forward to. Well, this was interesting because Ashley Banfield, who has a show on CNN, her program is called Crime and Justice. She took the airways Monday night with basically an open letter to this woman that accused actor Aniz Ansari of sexual assault. And just to backtrack and let people know what happened last week, as Aziz Ansari, the actor of, what's his name?
Master of None.
Yes.
Stand-up comic.
Hysterical.
Hilarious.
He was the latest celebrity last week to be accused of sexual assault. According to this woman named Grace, she went on a date with him last year, and at the end, they went to his Tribeca apartment. She says that as soon as they got there, he began kissing, fondling, undressing her before saying he was going to...
So that's when I get out of there. Two different times. Yeah. I need somebody in the green because they were too fresh for my taste.
But she stayed.
Yeah.
And he went and got a condom, and they performed...
Oral sex
on each other.
Which is incredible for a first date.
100%.
That shows our age. This is a whole different...
It's a whole different world, Lori, out
there. Yeah, but I mean, that to me is like, what?
And she didn't leave.
I wouldn't feel good about that. I read that story, Julia. It was a bad date story. And I thought, oh boy, this is not... This seems like a humiliating story to tell because
out loud
because you didn't. But I thought I'm so. Anyway, yeah.
So Ashley Banfield, and you and I discussed this yesterday, and I really had a problem with this woman coming forward because it sounds like...
With the story.
Because
she wasn't raped. She wasn't coerced.
He didn't assault her. It felt like...
It was an array. They had been texting. They met at an Emmys. We've seen these hookups at these parties.
So, and I was just like, you know, this doesn't feel right to me. And so Ashley Banfield...
To be part of Me Too.
To be part of Me Too, which is something bigger. It's
been where you've been raped, sexually assaulted, coerced by a boss, grabbed by somebody that did not have your permission.
In a position of power over you. This was a date.
Yeah, this was
so
a date.
So here's Ashley Banfield, and we're just going to stop it. It goes on for a while, but she hits at three things. Why she believes that this is wrong, what she has struggled as a woman in media for over 30 years trying to get on par with men.
Oh, yeah.
And what she's done to Aniz.
Yeah, okay.
So here we go.
Dear Grace, not your real name. I'm sorry that you had a bad date. I have had a few myself. They stink. I am sure it must be really weighing on you. It's hard being a victim. Very painful. Just ask anyone who's been on that end of crime and justice. I cover them every day. It's no picnic. But let's take a moment to reflect on what you claim was the worst night of your life, end quote. You had a bad date. Your date got overly amorous. After protesting his moves, you did not get up and leave right away. You continued to engage in the sexual encounter. By your own clear description, this was not a rape, nor was it a sexual assault. By your description, your sexual encounter was unpleasant. It did not send you to the police. It did not affect your workplace or your ability to get a job. So I have to ask you, what exactly was your beef? That you had a bad date with Aziz Ansari? Is that what victimized you to the point of seeking a public conviction and a career-ending sentence against him? Is that truly what you thought he deserved for your night out? Let me be completely clear. If you were sexually assaulted, you should go to the police right now. If you were sexually harassed and your bad date because of his actions mitigated your ability to do your job, you should definitely speak up and loud, because that's happened to me too, and it stinks. But if you just had an unpleasant sexual experience, you should have gone home. Maybe just go ahead, tell your friends to avoid this guy, he's gross. Go ahead, tell the date himself he's gross, that he is not the lover that he thinks he is. And without question, don't go on a second date with him. Certainly do not marry a guy like that.
Okay, part one.
Okay, so that's part one. And then
and I guess apparently she told TMZ Live just an hour ago that she was shaking.
I believe it.
Before she went on air to take the stance that she felt was right, because she was afraid she would get major professional blowback for speaking her mind, because she's gotten it in the past.
Yes.
She's been an out loud journalist with how she does her reporting.
That's Ashley Banfield. If you're just joining us, she's defending basically Aziz Ansari.
When I read this thing, I felt, why is she humiliating Aziz Ansari because of her bad judgment and doing something that she didn't really want to do?
Right.
And felt bad about it afterwards.
I agree. And we don't have time to get to the rest of it. And we're going to play it when we come back. But I also want you guys, if you want to weigh in on this, we'd love to hear your opinions about it. Because it really is a different perspective. And
it's not the same as Me Too.
It isn't.
It's not. There is a difference between rape, coercion, making inappropriate comments. You can't make them all be the same.
You can't.
No.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. This is Lori and Julia. You're listening to My Talk. Our plans and those soul hands. Hey, gang. Thanks for hanging out with us today. It is January 16th. Here's the deal. If you're just joining us, we are continuing a conversation about news reporter Ashley Banfield, and she has a show on CNN, and last night she basically did an open letter to an accuser named Grace, a 23-year-old photographer, who wrote...
went on a bad date with Aziz Ansari and had it published in Babe magazine and tried... It really humiliated him.
Completely.
When I read the whole thing, I'm like, this is a...
a bad date.
But here's the thing. Sexual mores have changed so much, even in the last 50 years, that if you're over the age of 50, like, it is a completely different world out there. As far, I mean, you and I, we got to be teenagers in the 70s and into the early 80s. Mm-hmm. And so it was a different time. Thank God it was post birth control, you know, so we didn't have to grow up like our moms. We're basically like, you were a good girl or a bad girl. And, you know, if you
and
got
I,
knocked
by
up,
the
you,
way, was a good girl.
Yeah. And I was a good girl too, because mm-hmm. My hockey
you
boyfriend.
Was,
yeah. But I mean, it was just a really different time. And we've discovered about sex by maybe our parents. We saw the movie in fifth grade. We read Coffee Tea or Me.
School. We didn't see it.
Okay, Coffee Tea or Me, The Other Side of Midnight,
yes.
Valley of the Dolls, an occasional Playboy. Now, you know, people, porn sex isn't real sex. No, nobody has, that's not real sex, but mm-hmm. both, it is really, really, I think, has been one of the major things that has bothered me very much about
the
sexuality in the modern, because young men and young, that isn't real sex, what you see on porn sites.
Right.
We had to use our imaginations. I mean, it was amazing to see mm-hmm. a magazine. You'd be like, wah, you know, mm-hmm. or read a titillating thing. It was mm-hmm.
Everything's in front of the face, but I do think, and what you're saying, you know, there's different things that would happen on a first date and different things that go on a first date.
Yeah, like, this sounds like a terrible date I had with the guy I was infatuated with who lived at, because, you know, I went out with him. I was available. For once, I wasn't cheating on a boyfriend. I was actually available. And he lived in the new buildings at
Callan Square when they were newly
not
remodeled.
Not Callan Square, at the club.
Oh, yeah. The Callan Beach Club. When they remodeled it and kind of renovated it in the 80s.
Yes. And he was just like 3 years older.
Oh, that's so hot, Laurie. He's got a good address.
Oh, yeah. He had a great address. And I thought that way. And he had a cool, and he was like 3 years older. And yeah, I remember he took me to my Fujiya, which I just like, that was the fan. I love that Japanese restaurant.
By the river.
And then we went to like a fancy, whatever it was, over in St. Anthony, Maine. And on the third date, we went somewhere around here, and then we went back to his house, and I thought, okay, I'm going to make out with him more than just what we have made out in the car. Yeah. He got super aggressive with me, just started grabbing me, and I'm like pushing him away, and I ended up having to knee him in the groin, as my dad taught me how to do in seventh grade, and I ran out of there. I remember I had like $10, because my mom was always like, have two quarters and taxi money anytime you go on a date. I mean, this is how different things are, but you had to have, and I think it was a quarter in the 80s, not a dime anymore.
Right.
And I never went out with him again, but I mean, it was not a good experience for me, and I got out of there. It wasn't my fault. It was his fault because he wasn't respecting my no. But I got out. I got lucky. I didn't get, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Grace
consensually agreed to all of this.
She consensually agreed to everything.
Everything that they did. And now, in hindsight.
And then she's bringing Aziz Ansari.
Well, let's listen to Ashley Banfield finish.
And if you guys want to weigh in, 651-641-107, we'd love to hear your opinions.
And all the gains that have been achieved on your behalf and mine are now being compromised by the allegations that you threw out there. And I'm going to call them reckless and hollow. I cannot name you publicly and sentence you to a similar career hit as Ansari because you chose to remain anonymous. Lucky you. But as you grow in your photography career, I really do hope that you remember what you did to someone else's career, all because of that bad date. That was not a sexual assault, that was not sexual harassment by your description. And I hope the next time you go on a bad date, you stand up sooner, you smooth out your dress, and you bloody well leave. Because the only sentence that a guy like that deserves is a bad case of blue balls, not a Hollywood black ball.
Okay, so she told TMZ today that...
This is Ashley Banfield.
Ashley Banfield, that she was... So she was just shaking because she had her producers that were saying, are you sure? You know, we're just supposed to believe every woman and all accusations are the same. And it kind of has felt that way. I mean, not like anything to do with Woody Allen. He's a creep and he's been a creep. But she said that she's received almost universal support, including from HLN, for calling out the anonymous accuser. And she said that this person has endangered the progress that's been made by blowing a bad date story out of proportion. And that's why she had to speak out against it. And a longtime writer, who I am going to say is like in her late 40s, early 50s, she wrote a really compelling story for The Atlantic called The Humiliation of Aziz Ansari.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
And it was basically, what in the hell? This story doesn't belong.
It doesn't in the Me Too movement. Yeah. And it's like and that's the difficulty, is where do you draw the line?
Well,
but this young woman, I agree with Ashley Banfield. I was having a fit about this yesterday, and I really think it's wonderful that she spoke up because it does give a different perspective. You know, and as a woman who grew up in a very sexist world, like you and I have.
And it still is, you know, in many, many ways. And yet there has been progress that's been made, but yet there...
The conversations have been wonderful where appropriate, but I think of Michael Douglas, because Michael Douglas has just, you know, he got out ahead of it. He knew there was going to be a story out about him firing this assistant and talking lewd around her. And he said, yes, I talked lewd. I did all that, but I did not expose myself in front of her. And then Catherine Zeta-Jones, his wife, said, it's beyond belief how much this has shook our world.
Yeah.
These accusations, which is both of us being actors in this community for so long, there are good people out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not everybody is Harvey Weinstein. Not everybody is Kevin
Spacey.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
don't paint with a hugely 6 foot wide
brush. And that's the thing. And I think it's been so.
Because we're making progress. I would like guys like Matt Damon very much regrets.
He does.
Speaking out.
He spoke out about it today on the Today Show.
And because his movie tanked, we don't need Damon splaining, and he's been doing that for a while. Alec Baldwin can sit down. He thinks people are being unfair to Woody Allen.
Good luck to him.
Because Timothy Chalamet and other actors are donating. They're like, I didn't know, you know, that he was.
What he did.
That he molested his stepdaughter, you know, when she was 7.
13 or so, yeah.
Yeah, went on, you know, so people are upset about, like Donnie said, this huge broad paintbrush because, she wasn't raped, so what is she accusing of him of? Of what?
She's publicly shaming him.
Yes.
A year after, and after he apologized to her.
Yeah.
And said, I didn't take it that way.
I thought we were agreeing based on what we did, which to anyone over 50, it was shocking to have oral sex on a first date. Mm-hmm. I know that boys have always maybe tried to get girls to give a blowjob. That way you won't get pregnant. That's been used for years. That one is not new. But just like it would be like, I have to see if I really like you before I'm going to let you, you know, get up close and even more personal.
Absolutely.
I want to see if I like, are you a good kisser? Do I like how you're, you know, everything. And to me, it just is jumping so fast.
I agree, Lauren.
Into that. And
I agree.
Chrissy Teigen today, you know, this U.S. doctor, the gymnastic doctor.
Oh, my gosh.
Larry Nassar, he's being
sentenced today.
Sentenced. And
111 gymnasts, even some from St. Paul.
But Michaela Maroney, who took a $1.25 million settlement, and I think she's 2 Olympics ago. She's the one who made the face that became a meme. If she spoke at his sentencing, because of the non-disclosure, the NDA agreements that they make sexual assault victims sign, she would have to pay $100,000. Chrissy Teigen said, I will pay your $100,000, so you can stand up and you can say to this guy,
screw you.
Yeah.
Look at what you did to all of us.
And think about all the ways he was able to take advantage. Look at gymnasts. They're tumbling, getting groin injuries.
They're young.
Oh, I got to put my finger here, make sure nothing was broken. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It would be an easy way to take advantage.
I love her for doing that.
She did that today.
Wow.
Tweeted that. That's completely different than Grace's story. Yeah. And I'm glad Ashley's getting, we have her back.
Yeah.
And I know you were very upset about it. You're a mother of 2 boys.
Yep.
You know, I mean.
Not all boys are bad and men are bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So anyway, but I do love the conversation because it's so appropriate when appropriate.
Yeah. And, you know, Katie Couric, too, she's out at the Television Critics. This is Neil Justin spent time with her. But she said her comment about Matt Lauer when she was asked in Plead the Fifth what was the worst thing. Yeah. And she said, oh, he grabbed my ass a lot.
Yeah.
She said, I was just being a smart aleck.
Yeah.
She said, no, this lives on and it makes
infamy.
It look
infamy. That he was a groper to me.
To me, and he wasn't.
Right.
So she's addressing that today. And Ann Curry, we'll talk about her because she's sitting down with CBS tomorrow. Hello, DVR.
I know. Hello, DVR. All right, when we come back, George Clooney returning to TV. Can we handle it? I don't know. We'll be right back. You're listening to Lori and Julie on My Talk 107.1. This song to make sure everybody loves it, Finesse by Bruno Mars and Cardi B. Thanks for hanging out with us this afternoon. You know, we've been talking about Ashley Banfield, talking about, you know, the reckless and hollowness of accusing Anees Ansari for basically just having a bad date and giving.
And regretting the sex that happened.
And doing it.
Which I have to say, many times you do end up regretting first date sex. Which is why guys love getting together with newly broken up people.
I got married like 27 years ago today, by the way.
Oh,
I know.
Wow. We have
two great kids and a good friendship.
I always tell people, though, if you want to just get laid, just let people know you're newly broken up because people love that.
Well,
I mean, as far as you're, it's easy to talk you into maybe stuff that maybe you
Lori's cold medicine is taking. Yeah.
I
know what you're saying, but you're in a different place.
Most of my regret sex, I would say for me, happened between the ages of 18 and probably 30.
Okay.
For me.
Yeah, for you. Yeah.
You know,
yep.
being in the orgasmic cloud,
but I also
only wanted to be in a cloud I wanted to be in.
Absolutely.
I feel very lucky not to have been assaulted.
No, I know. All right. So, Donnie, who are we going to talk to?
Christy would like to give her opinion.
She wants to weigh in on what Ashley Banfield's open letter was. Christy, hi. Thanks for listening, first of all.
Hi, thanks.
How are you today?
Good. I didn't actually see the Ashley Banfield story, but I agree with her in many ways. I don't think that the story that was written was a sexual assault. But when I read it, what struck me is that it really could strike an important conversation that I think we need to have.
Okay.
Is that we communicate very poorly in these settings about what we want. And so women can often feel like they were clear and they said, no, I'm not comfortable with this.
Right.
And men see that they agree to what they're doing and don't think that there's any problem. And there's this huge disconnect that can lead both people to not understanding what's just happened and feeling bad about the situation. And so I think we need to talk more about how to have this communication and how to listen to what the other people are saying. And I think if she had taken that approach to it and not going across as a sexual assault, it would have been a more interesting article.
I think that's
100%
right. You really are.
And you're very good. You should have one of our jobs at least for today.
You could come in today and just help us because we've got cold pills running around.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about that that's interesting is, you know, some people are more comfortable with having sex than others. And if you're on a first date with someone, that's a very, you know, if...
I've had sex on first dates.
So have I. I'm just saying.
There's other people that you're like, you know, and it depends on where you are, right? I mean, do you agree with us?
Yeah, I do. One actually quick point that I do want to make sure that I don't forget to make is I do a lot of work with college students.
All right.
And the school rules are very different, too, sometimes on these things. And so any degree of drinking can negate the ability to provide consent.
Okay.
So, like, you could have a situation where because they were drinking, that the university would have actually considered what happened to her a sexual assault, because in that case, neither of them would have been able to provide consent.
That's
really specialized for students. You have to know what your school policy is.
Yeah, and that's a
complete... It really is different.
Yeah. That is completely different from sexual mores of the 70s and 80s and probably even into the 90s, because that was... My God, that was, you know, no one even thought of that.
Right.
Like, okay, that clearly plays a big part.
And think of that age. I think of how insecure I was about my body. I mean, Lori, you've always been good and secure. But, I mean, I didn't lose my virginity until I was 21 years old. I was going to save it till I got married.
Yeah.
I had all these romantic whisperings and all these things around. Me away in this flouncy gown. And I just had all these different... delusions about losing my virginity to the point I got to it like, can we just get it over with? I hate this, having this anxiety, but I really was so insecure about my body to have these type of conversations or to even be in that type of situation. I don't know that I could have a conversation. Now I could.
I think it's really difficult, and that's why most people don't do it well.
And that has not changed over 100 years, that part of it. It has always been difficult for people
to
talk about sex.
And their needs and their wants and what's okay and what's not okay.
I mean, my God, it wasn't really till Betty Friedan wrote The Feminine Mystique that women were like, oh, God, we should get orgasms. Mm-hmm. We demand orgasms.
I mean, it's really scary when you're young.
I know it. It is.
And you're both inexperienced or something. I think that's better. But if you think someone has more experience than you and you think, oh my gosh, I should know these things. I mean, it's really, I just think back to that state.
I was excited. We were going to have this author on today. Hopefully we'll have her next week. She did the modern retelling of Little Women. Right. It's called the Sugar.
It's called something girls.
The Sugar.
Spring Girls.
The Spring Girls. Yeah. But it's the four sisters, and it was a movie. Winona Ryder was Jo March. Did you ever read Little Women? Did you read that book? Okay, so the modern retelling, it's still the generational wallpaper, what our fashion is, what the world looks like is different, but the experience of growing up female, the sister relationship, discovering boys, being fascinated with an older sister, having that is still as fresh and happens still now. Right. It's just that I just call it the generational wallpaper.
I love that
different.
Title. Yeah.
Do you like that new word I made?
I do. Yes, honey, why can't I forgot your name?
Christy.
I love that you're on having this conversation with us because I really think you're right about it. And I think about it with young men today and how appropriate having this type of a conversation is.
Yeah.
To have this, you know, and I think it's
no means known if somebody is drunk.
And just to ask for what you want and not what you, I just think it's really, this part of the conversation, I agree with you so much, is important.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for women to realize that they may think that they're being clear and they are not.
Yeah.
They need to be very clear in what they're saying. And I think that's really hard for people.
It is.
And I think people just think it's being rude and they don't want to upset people, but they need to be clear.
Yeah, we need, and that's always the dilemma when you're in high school and your boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever it may be, but usually the boy is pressuring you to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, now girls, they didn't grow up with wide whale corduroy pants like we did, Julia. But I'm telling you, the friction was amazing for just making out and keeping all your clothes on and everybody being happy.
No one wears
wide whale, but there is pressure that way too.
Yeah.
And that's why I always caution people about
dating
what do you want
young,
dating and too early and be having a serious boyfriend because that or girlfriend because that just you know
right.
All right. Christy, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you, Christy.
Thank you for taking my call.
Call anytime.
Can I just say something before we go?
Yeah.
I think in a case like this that Ashley Banfield took this woman to task, it's you don't want to fall into this cry wolf situation,
right?
Where another situation like this actually is maybe sexual assault,
right?
But people say, oh, you're just like that other woman who just had a bad date.
Right. Well, or like Alec Baldwin giving an interview that people are being unfair to Woody Allen. No,
we don't care what he thinks.
Shut up, Alec Baldwin. This is not the time. Liam Neeson gave a very painful lecture about sexual assault.
Men do not need to talk on this one. I think perfect that it was from a woman.
Yes.
Ashley Banfield.
I agree.
And a perfect tone.
Yep.
And if you want to see more of it, did we post it, Donnie?
We did.
All right. So we have it on the Lori and Julia Show page. It's really powerful. Thanks for hanging out with us. When we come back next hour, we've got Prince, can I say it, tickets to give away? My gosh, we'll be right back.